From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
And Leo is getting larger.
Este es un robo. I'm Paul.
I'm Storm.
And we're going to talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average. Tonight, it is... what month is it? April 14th, 2011.
That's some seriously clueless shit. What month is it?
I've been forgetting years lately, and it actually kind of goes into what my first comment for the evening is.
By the way, I've been forgetting years lately is already a front runner for the title of this episode. But nonetheless, I interrupted your speaking of the date.
Yes, quite all right. I'm rougher than usual, and I've got a term for it.
Oh, this is show 111, by the way.
Ah, yes, important detail. I seem to be on braincation.
Okay. What has led you to believe this?
Just usually when I sit down, it can even be 5 minutes before we do the podcast, I will just sort of sit down and jot down whatever comes to mind that seems interesting. And usually it just comes. And I don't mean it's a writer's blocky thing, just that when I sit down, I just hear this pleasant, you know, circus music type thing, you know?
Yeah.
Boop, 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 do. And I'm cool with that. And, you know, I did kick out some ideas here, but in general, I'm sort of floaty and I almost feel like doing the writing every day. It's like my brain says, all right, you did your lifting. Now let me be.
Disengages.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't completely disengage, but it won't do the focus thing. It's like every day I have a new clutch. You know, you get one clutch every day for your brain.
Yep.
And, you know, if you burn that clutch out too early, oh, well, you know, you're just not going anywhere. You're on braincation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
No, it feels good. How's your brain today, Paul?
I've been kind of braincation-y myself, actually.
Yeah.
Not quite as debilitatingly as it sounds like it has been for you today, but
you're not forgetting to breathe and things like that.
Yeah. Most of the motor functions are doing what they're supposed to. So,
sure.
So I'm taking that to mean that much like me, mostly we've got nothing.
I've actually managed. I've said we have next to nothing, and when you have next to nothing, you've got next to nothing to lose. Bob Dylan said that. Almost.
Uh-huh. Well, I got something we can start with.
Yeah, let's go.
Something we can get
roll.
Excited about, and that's the fact that we're going back to the UK.
I am excited about that. Beyond the UK, in fact, directly beyond the UK, is so many names. It's Holland, it's the Netherlands, it's Dutchland, it's Orangestania, it's so many things.
It's Orangina.
It is Orangina.
It's funny, whenever I see an Orangina, I think of like I specifically think of like a Swiss Air pilot.
Really?
And the reason I say that is I picture like the only people that drink Orangina are sort of thin, well-dressed men with mustaches who are staying in fancy hotels overnight before they have to fly somewhere else internationally.
That adds up, and they would likely be either Alpine or Nordic.
Yeah, I was going to say, sort of Nordic.
Yeah.
Definitely blonde.
Yeah.
Friendly is all get out.
Sure, and they also have that candy, you know, in their hand. Like, they got the Orangina and that weird candy, not like the licorice that they have in the orange drug land, but another type of candy that you can't quite recognize, but doesn't
like
have...
Oh, like just bizarre European candy?
Yeah, like fruitam, you know, just something that Europeans would like. And I don't know.
Sklue?
We've just completely insulted every one of our European fans.
Our many, many European fans.
We have very fine
confections over in Europe. We're not disparaging all European sweets.
Actually, I love the Netherlands licorice. Like, there's the licorice dividing line, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There are many dividing lines.
This is a particular... It's like the Maginot line, but... it's slightly less important to the outcome of World War One.
Possibly more important, or possibly it was one and the same thing. It's a very bright line. There's no middle ground between liking dark licorice, or as some of us call it, real licorice, actual licorice.
You mean bullshit licorice, right?
Actual licorice, like the one that is licorice.
You mean awful licorice? Yes,
the actual licorice.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Devised from things like anise or licorice, the actual thing, licorice, uh-huh, that creates that flavor.
Uh-huh.
But yes, in the Netherlands, I think it's the Netherlands, where they have this extra dense, hard, gummy, it's like an all-day sucker. I think it can be used to plug holes in jets.
I think it's made from spent fuel rods.
It may be. And there's a guy that I know who... I think he's of Dutch or Hollish extraction. I'm not sure which.
You got a connection. You got a provider.
Yeah. Like he slid me one of these and was very surprised, that I enjoyed it. So I may be bringing an entire bag back just to carry Jaffa cakes and nether candies.
Be very careful. That is maybe my favorite new euphemism. Nether candies. That is the title of this podcast episode right here, if not a running joke for Paul and Storm. Here through time immemorial. Is time immemorial only historical, or can it go forwards as well? I think it's only in reverse.
We can say post-memorial as well.
Post-memorial, I guess. But to get back to...
Nether candies.
Uh-oh, nether candies. That's the tagline. The catchphrase.
Yeah, if we have a sitcom.
Except it's just a U and an O, each with an umlaut.
Uh-oh.
Nether candies.
You were about to say something. I think we're done.
I was about to say the specifics, for those of you not familiar with the fact, is that we are going to be doing three performances in England that in June. If I'm remembering my dates correctly, on the 9th we will be in Bristol, on the 10th we'll be in Manchester, and then the 11th we'll be in London at one of our favoritest venues ever, Union Chapel,
which
is basically a big old church with a stage. And then on the 13th, we are going to be in, as our fellow Wire fans would call it, Hamsterdam.
Yeah.
And that's going to be cool. I have never been to the Netherlands. I've never been anywhere in Europe other than France and for half a day Germany and the British Isles. I've never been to any of the other Germanic states.
We're literally in the same boat and plane on that. We did the one trip to Strasbourg, France,
mm-hmm,
and dabbledude into Germany. We did dabbledude.
Sort of
made that tippy-toey sound.
Yeah, you gotta sing dabbledude, 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 and then fast train.
I was thinking when Fred Flintstone bowls and there's that little xylophone.
Okay, I thought dabble-doo was like when his feet sort of are running frantically in place as he's starting up his car. Dabble-doo-dabble-doo-dabble-doo-dabble-doo-zhang.
That's how I think that's how we entered Germany and we tinkle-toed back out. Yeah, I'm excited to see. Like, I've landed in Amsterdam, just like...
But you never like got out of the airport?
No, I then saw...
It does not count.
No, it doesn't. Like, I was impressed with the shoreline. A lot of windmills, and this was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you can generally rate the quality of a country by how many cool things they stick in the ground.
By its volume of spinny things. Large spinny things.
Spindly things and spinny things. Like, New York is cool because it's got a lot of spindly things.
And you can also judge a place by how much shitty licorice they have on hand.
Those of us with more discerning tastes,
those of you who like to taste the sweets that taste like fecal matter.
Well, if you enjoy actually tasting things and not being fed things that are called licorice that are actually just red candy,
not being fooled by the fake licorice lobby.
No, they're very, you know, the Koch brothers are the ones who produce the elements that create red licorice looking substances.
Oh, just these two dudes that excrete it.
Yep, they do. It's their nether candy.
And we're back.
We're staying on a houseboat.
Yes, we are. We're totally staying on a houseboat. Our booking agent runs a jam band festival every year in Amsterdam called Jam in the Dam. And he's more excited for us than we are, I think.
Oh,
I,
yeah.
I personally have to admit, I'm happy to go there, but I am not filled with huge volumes of anticipation for going to Amsterdam specifically. I mean, I'm excited to go to a new country and mm-hmm. a new place I have never been.
Yep.
And I'm sure I'm going to get a whole bunch of emails telling me about all of the wonderful things that I can do in Amsterdam. I'm just, you know,
sure.
I'm just speaking honestly. I'm not disparaging the place when I say it's not like I, you know, on the grand list of places I've always wanted to go. It's not particularly high on that list.
I would agree with the caveat that anytime I've ever seen like footage from Amsterdam, it just looks like a cool place to hang out.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, of course, you know, there's the Anne Frank Museum, you know, which is not uplifting, like, but it's not like you hear about a ton of attractions per se,
mm-hmm.
but I get the sense that it's more of it's just a really cool place to hang out and enjoy yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, neither of us are druggers, so that's not a particular appeal, you know? Like, I know that some people
We're not drugsteins, I believe the term is...
Drugsteins.
Drugsteins.
I'm sorry.
Drugsteins, excuse me.
Drugsteins. We're not. So that in particular is not a draw, but I don't think it's necessary, you know?
Yeah.
That it's sort of... Maybe people who are drugsteins like it because it's so cool to hang out. Like, where do drugsteins in college in particular hang out? On a comfortable couch,
That's true.
If the whole city is basically a comfortable couch, of course you're going to have drugstores.
That was their mass transit system, was just sort of like a monorail type thing, except it was just really comfortable couches sliding along a monorail.
You know, if I end up as like a triple billionaire, I would completely outfit a city like, you know, Cedar Rapids. You know, not like a
with a couch monorail.
Yeah, a couch monorail. How great would that be? I mean, is it that much sillier than a regular monorail?
Not that much. You know,
no.
And it would have just like sort of like each couch would have sort of a canopy thing in case it rained.
Right. Retractable, though.
Yeah. Totally retractable. Like, you know what? Have those cheap ass awnings that like that you can like furl, you know, install and then sort of unfurl by turning a crank on your porch or whatever.
And no two of these couch monorail.
They're all totally used couches.
Oh, yeah. They're real couches.
Yep.
And each one is given a little name like that. I believe the cable cars in San Francisco all are, it's individual. They have names.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be like, you know, the pride of the rapids or.
Yeah. The mini haha. Because there's always a mini haha.
Of course. Upholstered glee, you know. So we'll make that happen. Make us rich people and we will bring you couch monorails.
That's right. The first person to provide us with $1 billion.
It had to be a triple billion.
We will name the monorail system after you. How's that?
Any fashion you choose. You can even be crude if you want.
Yep.
I have a quick battle. I thought up a battle.
Sure.
The battle is YouTube versus Can I Has Cheeseburger, the lolcat site. And the battle is, which would be most enjoyable to a heretofore undiscovered tribe or population?
Oh, like some group of people that have never seen technology at all.
Exactly.
Before. And what are the combatants? I Can Has Cheeseburger and what?
YouTube.
Ooh. Go ahead.
A little more setup. The idea is that there are two computers or screens or whatever it is set up take it for granted that there is some system where they can navigate, you know.
Okay, yep.
It's a smart tribe. They may not be technologically savvy, but mm-hmm. they're not dumb-dumbs.
And are we assuming, for the sake of this argument, that the both the videos and the lolcat captiony things are in a language that this tribe can understand?
Actually, I'm going to say no.
Well, in that case, I got to go for YouTube.
Just because it has motion?
Yeah, it has motion. It has things that you can understand and find interesting and amusing without, you know, needing to understand language.
I think you're probably right, but on the flip side, ICANN has cheeseburger has cats.
It does.
And they're right there.
It's true, but, you know, YouTube has cats.
Well, but how would they find cats?
I don't know. They could run across them.
Yeah, no, I'm going to agree with you.
Yeah.
Not much of a battle, really. Sorry, ICANN has cheeseburger.
Yeah. Oh, here's something that somebody just now suggested.
All right.
And somebody was talking about the death slash mercy killing of the daytime soap opera. As of today's recording, they just announced that they're canceling All My Children and One Life to Live.
Yeah.
And I proudly admit that there was a time, it was during grad school mm-hmm. and a couple years after of that, that both my wife and I were very addicted to All My Children.
Yeah,
I am a proud old All My Children follower. This was, you know, very early 90s, so it's been some time. But I am wondering, I'm not so much asking about guilty pleasure television, but specifically, were you ever a watcher of any soap operas, Storm?
I was. It was collateral, but nevertheless, I did get invested because that's what soap operas did. They mm-hmm. are geniuses at figuring out what to hook you with characters.
Yep.
And it was, I guess it was probably elementary school into junior high, and it was primarily General Hospital. And this was in the early mid-80s. And my sister would watch it. Like, we'd come home from school and she would put it on.
Was this in the halcyon days of Luke and Laura and the Ice Princess?
Of course it was. And that's the thing for me, is there were like sci-fi elements in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was young enough that the sort of the kissy stuff was just boring to me, you know.
Yep.
I was pretty young. But yeah, just sort of once you sort of get to know these characters, and it had hot chicks, you know?
Yeah.
So it makes sense. But I would say this to that it's not that really soap operas have disappeared, it's just they've transmuted, and that a lot of the TV programs, especially the hour-long dramas, really are soap operas.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no longer the population, you know, watching at that time. Obviously, if there were, they wouldn't cancel them.
Yep.
That audience has just shifted. That's all that's happened. So even though that specific form doesn't live on, and... not to say that that soap operas are dumb, you know, mm-hmm. they're not. Mm-hmm. They're very well thought out, and a lot of it is, it's hard to pull off. But sort of in terms of structure, it's a very simple structure versus something like, you know, Grey's Anatomy as an example.
Yep, yep.
Of something that hooks you on characters, and it has long arcs, it has short arcs, it just... it moves at a quicker pace and it has more going on. And I think that's a general trend in popular culture, accepting reality shows.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here's another quickie. We're going to do a bunch of rapid fire stuff this podcast, I think. Another one. This one from the Double Clicks.
Yeah.
We had the pleasure of working with in Portland a couple of weeks ago.
Hey, y'all.
Hello. I don't think we've had this discussion before. They say, talk about the first song you really liked when you were a kid.
I think we have been asked about this on another podcast, so I think it's legit to talk about it here.
Okay.
For me, it was Help by the Beatles.
Huh.
That song, more than anyone, I remember it would come on, and I would just bounce and jump around the room, go crazy for nuts, and also pretty much the entirety of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Really?
Oh yeah, that was the Jewish Jesus Christ Superstar.
I suppose that's true. Good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, I mean, I'm sure there were songs when I was very small that I would enjoy and request to be played over and over. Like, there was, my parents had, there's the Cabaret soundtrack.
Yeah.
Album. I used to have my mom play a lot. There was also, she also had a Joel Grey live concert album.
Wow.
That I apparently used to enjoy quite a bit and would dance along with. But yep. The first song that sort of on my own initiative, I would reach for the 45, which is an old piece of vinyl you used to be able to put on a machine and spin around and put a little arm with a needle on the end of it, and it would make music.
Yeah,
crazy. 45 that my brother owned called of a single called Living Next Door to Alice by a group called Smokey. was the first pop song that I think I genuinely latched on to in a sentient manner. Like, I like mm-hmm. this song. I am going to listen to this song repeatedly, and I'm capable of doing so because I can work a record player.
Yep.
And I can't really... I mean, it's a nice little disposable pop tune. There's nothing particularly compelling about it. I think I sort of... It was a story song. Of yep. sorts, or I guess it wasn't so much a story as it told a situation as opposed to just talking about love.
Yep.
Sung from a point of view of a guy who's been living next door to this girl for years and years and had a crush on her and never expressed anything, and now she's moving away and he's never going to be able to consummate literally or figuratively his feelings for Alice.
The first song to really reach you.
Yeah, I think so. In sort of a...
on all levels.
I was going to say a semi-intellectual level, like, you know, I am enjoying this song other than for the pure sort of sensory input it is providing, like, you know, Muppets are singing.
Well, when you put it that way, I have a different answer.
Okay.
Because Help was definitely the visceral reaction song that I had to hear.
Mm-hmm.
But when specifically you said song that you were capable of, you know, lifting the needle off the record, placing it back and listening to it over and over again, this is a little embarrassing. It was the song The Flower Girl. I love The Flower Girl by the Cowsills.
I don't know if I know that one.
You'd recognize it. It's actually the group. It's a family band that the Partridge Family was based on.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually did travel as a group, and the mother was in the band, and I think she played the harp, like the not the the mouth harp, but the actual stand-up big harp, like uh-huh. harp.
Yeah.
And
harp.
But it's a really sappy song, kind of hippie-ish, where this whole story is this guy is walking in the rain and sees this girl, and then there are flowers in her hair, flowers everywhere, and this big lush sound comes out, and at the end, like, she's gone, and my gosh, was it a dream or was it reality? And I guess I was seven or so, I just thought that was amazing, and I would listen to it over and over. But the embarrassing part, this is the era of Adam 12
and Emergency,
all the cop and that kind of exciting
yep.
show where you will God, this is embarrassing. So at the end of the show, after the action and they have their little laugh, they would run the credits and there would be little clips of action and they would freeze.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd put up credits on top of that. And yep. producer, blah, blah, blah. And then there'd be another little clip of action and freeze.
Stephen J. Cannell.
So all the while, I would listen to this sweet song, I Love the Flower Girl. I would run from spot to spot in my living room. Like I had a gun and freeze,
uh-huh.
then unfreeze, run to another part of the living room and freeze. And for some reason, this made perfect sense to me during this song.
I would love to make fun of you for that, but it sounds exactly like something I would do at that young an age.
Yeah. Kids do that, I guess.
Yep. At least we did.
Yeah. Stupid kids do that.
Yeah.
Only the stupidest kids do things like that.
That's right.
Only
the stupidest kids enjoy nether candies.
Possibly true. Well, you know what I would really like?
Was it nether candies or was it nether sweets? Now I'm forgetting. I'm going to have to go back and listen.
Yeah, nether sweets sounds better anyway.
Yeah, nether treats.
Nether treats.
Let's workshop this right here. on the podcast.
A nether digestible object produced by a combination of sugar and other natural
substances. The hoop swinger.
The hoop sucker.
That was a little Coen Brothers moment for our four fans out there who got that reference.
I want to go on another cruise.
Yeah, I do too.
And if I did go on another cruise, I'd want it to be... I wouldn't want to go this year. You know, we just went in January.
That'd be a little too soon to go in 2011 again. You're absolutely right.
But I don't want to wait too long.
No,
you know, like I want to wait a whole year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, you know, I think that would be great if that happened, and if, you know, we did it with friends because it was so much fun with friends.
No, I mean, cruises are kind of fun. Alone, they can be a romantic getaway, but it's that type of vacation in particular is always fun with a large group of friends too.
Cruises are better when they're crazy.
Yeah,
that's just a stray thought. So, just gonna leave that there.
That's true.
Moving on.
Tip
of the hat to Mike Furman. Here's a battle suggested to us by M. Pangetti. I recall saying his name a couple times off of the Twitters. Mm-hmm. The battle is a battle of Muppets. It is, it's not a battle per se. What he says is, who could beat Sam the Eagle in a political race?
That's
don't want to get political.
Yeah, no. You've got to get somebody who contrasts. So the person you would want to run against Sam the Eagle, I would think, would be a Kermit the Frog.
That is exactly who I have in mind. Yeah.
Now the thing of it is, who's the person you're going to actually get to run that you may not be as enthusiastic about, but still has a shot at beating Sam the Eagle?
Right.
Like
the thing is,
like a Crazy Harry.
Well, but that's it depends. Like the thing is, Sam is. Well, it seems like it's clear that he's supposed to be on the right,
he's
the more conservative.
A conservative type.
And he's good at staying on message, that's his thing. And Kermit, of course, would be great because he uses reason, and that's kind of his thing. Mm-hmm. But he's probably too smart to run for office, he just wouldn't do it. And he's a journalist, so he really can't.
Yep.
Yeah, gosh, I would think you'd want to go with a strong personality.
Ralph probably wouldn't run because, being a musician, he's probably got a drug habit in his past that he doesn't want.
Same with Grover.
And Fozzie. Don't get me started on Fozzie.
No, it couldn't be Fozzie. Certainly not Dr. Teeth.
Sweetums?
Sweetums could do the job.
He's certainly a contrasting type to Sam the Eagle.
And he's a great delegator.
He is.
So,
and he gets so much done in a day, too.
Yeah. I think we have our answer.
Okay, Sweetums. There it is.
Sweetums. All right. There you go.
That was easy.
Favorite handheld food? This is from UCS Brandon.
Handheld food. I just ate one today. Chipotle burrito.
Oh, I guess that is a handheld food.
I guess. It's a little unfair of me because I just had one nearby. As a matter of fact, as I may have mentioned in the past, I live next... It was one of the five greatest days of my life when I found out that my next door neighbor, turns out, is sort of a regional coordinator for Chipotle.
You did not tell me that.
Well, he helps... I was a little unclear for a while what he did, and he didn't always work for them. This is in the past couple of years, I think he started working for them. Basically, he helps them, like, they're expanding in our area, and because for the longest time there were none here in the greater Philly area, and they are starting to open them up sort of in a general 50-mile radius or so, and he is in charge of helping these stores when they open and helping coordinate, planning and everything and getting things up and running.
Mr. Wolf.
Mr. Wolf, he is, as a matter of fact, he is kind of Mr. Wolf. Mm-hmm. And let's just say there's some advantages to living next door to a regional coordinator for Chipotle. And the advantage tends to express itself in free burrito gift cards and things like that. So
That's one of those great little gifts of the universe.
It really is.
We've talked so many times on this podcast and to friends and to people we meet at random about how much you love Chipotle.
Yeah, I know.
And for you to end up as his neighbor, that's just not...
I know, it's incredible. Like, the way the universe works, like, you would think it'd be somebody like the coordinator for Salad Works.
Right. Or, well, you never would have met them. Maybe they do. Maybe they live on the other side and you
just
don't
know
it. That's
true. Yeah, they're catty corner from me. Is the Salad Works dude.
Huh.
How about your handheld food?
Oh, it's sort of a cheat, but Peking duck, like if I had to pick one thing that is eaten with the hand, that just from when I was a kid, just loved it. The combination of the sweet and the fatty and the crispy and all that. Just,
yeah.
It does it for my buns, I tell ya. I have a thing.
Okay.
It's something I've recently started on the Longer Thoughts blog.
Right.
That I think would be fun for us to do as well on the podcast.
Right.
And on the blog, I have called it Storm Will Give You Bad Advice.
Mm-hmm.
But it can very easily be Paul and Storm Give You Bad Advice.
Yes.
In the case, particularly on the podcast, but if you cared to also give bad advice in the written form. But,
sure.
But if folks have... real issues. We do not want joke issues.
Yeah.
It won't work if, you know, we're answering jokes and we both have tremendous bullshit detectors. So
yes, we do.
If something piques our interest and it's BS, we might let it slide, but we want actual issues. And we will give you bad advice. Hopefully funny, maybe thought provoking, but probably not, and nothing you should act on.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason, really, you would want bad advice except to hear us make fun of your real issue, but in a thoughtful and or humorous way.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in that, I guess we can put that up in the description to please tell us, you know, say, hey, give us I want bad advice. And we'll see about doing it on the podcast now and then.
Yeah. I have a quick Paul and Storm recommends.
You bet.
It's a bit of a cheat because we've talked about him in the past, but our friend comedian Paul F. Tompkins,
yes,
for the past number of weeks, has been doing for Vulture.com, which is the New York Magazine's branch, has been doing recaps of American Idol. Now, whether or not you watch American Idol is frankly immaterial because these recaps are, and I'm a recap aficionado. There were many, many years that I would spend far too much time of the day on Television Without Pity when that website was a force to be reckoned with. I'm a big hefty reader of the Onion AV Club. And so my opinion carries weight because I'm also slightly famous. As such, my opinion matters that much more. And when I say that Paul F. Tompkins writes the best, funniest recaps of anything I have ever read in the recapping industry, I am not just damning it with faint praise. Each article is hilarious and very well and thoroughly written.
I'm gonna double down with you here. I am not an American Idol watcher. Never have been. It rankles me. And I find his reviews to be utterly hysterical on the subject.
Yeah.
While we're on the topic of recaps, I would also mention David Rees.
Yes.
R-E-E-S. He has been...
for the very same website, Vulture.com, which we have not... These are not paid plugs, by the way.
And they never are. Rest assured, if we ever did, like, paid... sponsorships, we would tell you.
Yeah, we have no problem doing paid sponsorships.
No, we don't.
But we would let you know. None of this sneaky guerrilla marketing for us.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, yes, David Rees.
Well, the thing is, I've forgotten the name of the show.
Oh, it's America's Next Top Restaurant.
Yes.
Or Next Great Restaurant. I can't remember which.
Yeah, where basically people pitch chain restaurant ideas and... most of them are shot down, and then they explore them.
Yeah,
but
and now they end up with a group of six or ten or whatever they ended up with, and then they do, you know, Top Chef type eliminations each week.
But indeed, don't take our words for it, because the magic is in how they actually write them. Seek them out. It's
yes,
good stuff.
Yes, do that. If there's nothing else, I'm going to go real quick to the schedule.
Do it.
We'll do it. As has been mentioned, this coming next weekend, as in not this one, but the next one. That's a topic for a whole other podcast, by the way, for people who say next weekend to mean the one coming up, as opposed to people who say next weekend meaning not this one, but the next one. But we'll get the German, to that.
The Germans have a word for it.
Do they? What is that?
They call it Uber weekend.
Uber weekend.
Meaning the one after this one coming up.
Yes. Well, that's that then.
Done.
Done and done. Uber weekend from now, on the 22nd, which is...
It's just Uber weekend. It's not Uber weekend from now.
That's true. April 22nd, which is a Friday, we're going to be in Chicago. On the 23rd, we're in Madison, Wisconsin. On the 24th, we're in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Uh-huh. The 25th, we're in Minneapolis. All of those dates are with Jonathan Colton. In May, we're going to be in Richmond, Virginia, and Alexandria, Virginia, and Annapolis, Maryland, also with Colton. In the end of May, Memorial Day weekend, we're going to Canada, back to Canada for two shows in Toronto and Ottawa, but not in that order. And then there's the big UK trip coming in June. In July, we're at Convergence in Minneapolis. And of course, last but certainly not least, on the current calendar, we're in San Diego during Comic-Con on July 21st, Wootstock 3.0, which probably, well, maybe not probably, to be fair, but at least as the way things look now, it may be the only full on Wootstock, which is to say has all four of us hosts, us and Adam Savage and Will Wheaton presiding for 2011, is going to be in San Diego at the Balboa Theater. Tickets are selling quite at quite a clip for that, so run and grab your tickets so you don't miss it, because it's going to rock.
My gosh, we're busy boys.
We are busy boys. I like to be busy.
And yeah, and there's all the other stuff that we can't tell them about that we're doing or are going to be doing.
I know, but there's,
which is incredible.
There's a bad moon on the rise. Let's just say that.
There are 410 minions in the Paul and Storm Brigade of Minions. The current minion unit designation is Cool Ever Dudes,
yep.
Which, as we explained on our last podcast, is very important to the Paul and Storm organization and the heritage going back to Da Vinci's Notebook.
That's right.
So go to paulandstorm.com, look for the minion icon to learn how to become part of that. Do you have any other
business?
Done. That must mean I'm Storm.
And I'm Paul.
And we've been talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average. Hodor.
Go do things.
I saw her sitting in the rain, raindrops falling on her. She didn't seem to care, she sat there and smiled at me. Then
I knew
she could make me happy.
Happy.
She could make me merry. Flowers in her hair.
I know just why.
sun broke through.